Remembrance is an interesting thing. Remembering. Some of us are good at remembering. Other of us, not so. I am a not so. I do not always remember things. Fortunately, I have a wife who is good at remembering. But today we're here, aren't we, to remember. And there are services and events happening across our country and across this weekend to enable people to remember. This morning, I've entitled message, The Price Paid. The Price Paid. Because as we remember, we do recognise the price that has been paid by a large number. Some of which willingly to do, and others not so. In reading the papers, you can hear stories, you can see stories of people who were willing to pay the price. One of which I want to recount to you now. In 1942, a group of Scottish soldiers were taken prisoner by the Japanese in Singapore. These captives were subjected to cruelty so savage that it thrust them into barbarous behaviour, pitting themselves against one another as they tried to survive. But all that changed when a shovel went missing. While building a jungle bridge one day, part of the forced labour inflicted on the POWs, a shovel went missing at a tall checkpoint. The officer in charge of the Japanese guards went ballistic. He emphatically demanded that the missing shovel be produced, or the Scottish soldiers would pay dearly for their carelessness, or worse, their thievery. But no one from the Scottish line stepped forward to take the blame. The officer then pulled out his gun and threatened to kill all. To kill all of them on the spot. The prisoners only needed to look at their existing wounds to know he meant it. Finally, one Scotsman silently stepped forward from the line. The Japanese officer holstered his pistol and proceeded to mercilessly beat the poor man to death. When the gruesome moment finally passed, the horror-stricken POWs picked up the body of their fallen brother and carried it with them to the second tool check. Strangely, this time, no shovel was missing. In fact, it was discovered that the missing shovel was nothing more than a miscount. The tragedy had a profound effect on the prisoners. Word spread like wildfire throughout the camp that an innocent man was willing to die to save others. The event changed the way the prisoners behaved. They ceased their conflicts with one another and began to treat each other like brothers, making sacrifices for each other to ensure their survival. The sacrifice even impacted how the POWs saw their Japanese captors. With the victorious Allies finally swept into the camp, those Scottish soldiers were not much more than walking skeletons. but they lined up in front of the Japanese soldiers and insisted that they not be killed. They knew in that moment that forgiveness was needed. That's the power of sacrificial love. It's unparalleled. It's amazing, isn't it, to think that it was basically due to a miscount. How often are miscounts happened? This man, I suppose, didn't know whether it was true, somebody had stolen it or not. But he was willing to pay the price. Sacrificial love. He was willing to sacrifice himself for the greater good. Today, as we're remembering the price paid by not only this one life, but many lives in times of war, we acknowledge that this price paid presents us with an opportunity to make a choice. For those who paid the price some 100 years ago did not do so on the condition of us making the choice to remember them. They did it despite not knowing what the outcome was to be. They were willing to sacrifice themselves, no matter what. And this morning, we are here remembering. There are people in our town remembering. But there are people who are not remembering. They choose not to. And that is a choice that these fallen people paid for. The scripture reading we've just heard reveals the most unparalleled example of sacrificial love. In the opening verses in Romans 5, we see the benefits of responding to God and being willing to make the choice to be restored to a relationship with God. Verse 2 reveals that because of our faith in Jesus, we are brought into a place of undeserved privilege, which means we can confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. Yet in moving to verse 6, Paul reveals the cost for enabling us to have what is revealed in verse 2. Romans 5, 6 to 9 says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight, by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. How many of you would be willing to lay your life? To lay your life down for a complete stranger? There are people that will do. They will. We see that in what that story revealed. We see that in numerous stories. There are others where people step forward and say, I will take their place. God, through Jesus, does the same. The price to enable us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father was paid through Jesus Christ, the once-for-all sacrifice. Though the price of restoration was great, God was willing to pay it. As Peter reveals in his first letter, 1 Peter 1:18 to 19 says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." The price was paid with something more precious than any earthly riches. There was not enough gold. There is not enough silver. There is not enough jewels. Titanium, whatever the most valuable thing is on our planet, there is not enough of it. It took God to sacrifice his son. To pay the price that was needed to be paid. This price was paid before any evidence of appreciation was registered. In fact, those who he was seeking to pay the price for were the very ones who were seeking to destroy him. As Paul said, whilst we are sinners, the price was paid. Before we even made the choice, the price was paid. Who gets gift cards? A few people, good, excellent. I've had a few gift cards, they've been quite nice. It's like someone going and buying you a gift card for something, perhaps a meal, perhaps some Xbox time, Xbox Live or whatever it is. It's moved on probably, that's what it was when our boys were younger. A meal, maybe going out somewhere, maybe it's a red letter day. Go and drive a Ferrari around a racetrack. Sharon and I were once given a gift voucher for afternoon tea. It's all right. Quite like tea. I like sandwiches. The only disappointment I think was they didn't serve crisps. But we looked forward to going and having this afternoon tea. And on the day, we sat down and enjoyed all that was on to offer. The sandwiches, the cakes, the scones, the tea. It was really enjoyable. It was over. I can't remember the name of the place, but it was over at Rutland. Barnsdale Hall. It was lovely. The time came to settle up the bill. The waiter came and gave us the bill. And knowing that we went to this place, because we had a voucher for this place, I was able to say, there's the voucher. And then walk out. It was quite nice. No monetary transaction by me at all. However, just stop for a second and imagine if we'd gone through that, we'd booked the restaurant, we'd booked the tea, we'd had the dinner, or the tea, the cake and the tea and the sandwiches. The bill came and the voucher's here. And I say, lovely, here's my card. And I paid for it with my own money instead of using the voucher. How stupid would that be? If somebody gives you a voucher for iTunes or for whatever it is, you don't say, oh, great, thank you very much, put it on the side. And then when you go and specifically try to use it, what you do is you leave it and you pay with cash or you pay with your credit card or your debit card. You don't do that, do you? If somebody gives you a gift card, then you use it. Well, I'm assuming you use it. Some people hold on to them and think, oh, I'll use it for a special time. Just beware that they do run out. The choice is mine. The person who gave me the voucher wouldn't know what I did with that voucher. Because obviously, when you receive the voucher, that price has been paid. They don't give you the voucher and you then have to go and put the money on yourself. Usually, you get a voucher with money already on it. It's been credited to you. Well, in light of creation and humanity, that's what God did. He got us a voucher for eternal life. It's just up to us to redeem it. You don't have to say to God, well, I'm pleased you got that voucher, but actually I'm going to do this, this, this. I'm going to help 15 old people across the road. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. The price has been paid for our eternal salvation. So before the choice had been offered to his creation, he was willing to stump up the fee, to pay the price in full. And he did it in the knowledge that some in creation would not respect that transaction and choose to reject it. Today, just as some are choosing not to acknowledge the cost paid by the lives of many individuals in wars such as World War I and II and many others, this was a price those men and women were willing to pay. They pay the price. And we know they don't go out looking for it. But they are willing to put themselves on the line to enable people to have freedom. Freedom to choose. As with this, so too with the price paid by Christ. There are people who currently are making the choice not to walk in the light, but continue to walk in darkness. It's a choice we have to make. God will not force the choice, though it hurts him to see people choose to go their own way. That price was paid. Last night, however many hundreds of young people were at Kingsgate, 50 from our area, who went on the bus. Lee and the others enabled that to happen, to provide an opportunity for some young people to make that choice. And it's their choice. We don't know how many will make that choice. But we pray, and I would encourage you to pray today for those young people. Because across the 2 days, I don't know, there probably was, 1,500 who may have made a commitment. We need to pray that they will make that commitment, that they will make that step, that they will journey with Jesus. Because he paid a price that he knew was worth it. At Christmas, we see Jesus coming as a baby. Easter, recognizing that he gave his life. We have many opportunities. And I would encourage you to take them, to talk to people, because that price was paid for them. And they have to make a choice. The price is paid. In this service of remembrance, we have made the choice to stop and acknowledge that the price is paid by those who fought for freedom, our freedom. A freedom that means we can choose to remember or forget past sacrifices. A price echoed in the actions of Jesus, who paid a price, knowing that some might not make the choice. But he did it because he loves and he desires to have a relationship with all. So today, as you remember what Jesus personally did for you. Let's pray. Father God, as we remember the fallen, those that in times of war have given their life, today we acknowledge that and remember. But Lord, we remember that your Son willingly gave himself as a sacrifice to restore your creation to you. And I pray that you would help each one of us make that choice daily to live for you. That we would have that acknowledgement in the way we live our lives, to enable more people to choose you. For you paid the price to enable us to be restored to you. Amen.